Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. I'm Dr. Susan Kalb, and today I'm pleased to have with me my guest, Dr. Richard Presser, and we're going to be discussing the 2012 countdown. Richard has a show on BBS Radio as well, so he is very familiar with the radio station, and he has a great deal of information to share today. Information that doesn't always come from the third dimension, which is often the best information to have when you're talking about something such as 2012. Welcome, Richard. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Susan. I'm very well, thank you. And before we get started, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge what you've done in terms of bringing together modern Western medicine, if you will, and it seems like you've been pretty much at the cutting edge of some aspects of that and marrying it with the traditional modalities of healing, if you will, and it's beautiful to see that. So congratulations on what you've done.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. One of my guests said that he's been bleeding on the cutting edge for years. I thought that was
yep.
funny.
It is.
You got to have a sense of humor when you're an explorer, and you're certainly an explorer. You've had an interesting life. You started out as an engineer with an IT background. Is that right?
That's pretty much right. Yes, I studied engineering because I wasn't too sure what I wanted to do, and finished up with a PhD in it because I still didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
And then I went selling computers.
There you go. Well, tell us a little bit about how you discovered this whole other spiritual realm, which I got into basically because I had everything. I had money, relationships, job. I had everything that anybody could ever want, and yet I still had an emptiness inside. And that was what led me to seek out something beyond the physical world.
My experience is very similar to that, Susan, actually. At the time, I guess it was about 1991 or so, at that stage I was running a pretty successful IT business in Australia mm-hmm. and had some really extraordinary people working for that business. And it was a business that I'd joined maybe 5 or 6 years previously that had been run by a couple of other guys, and I came in to drive the product side of that business, and the product business exploded over the next couple of years. So we built about a $25 million Australian business, and by that time I owned half of it and was running it. And mm-hmm. I was driving around in a Ferrari and married to this beautiful woman with three gorgeous kids, and mm-hmm. to the rest of the world, you know, looked like I pretty much had everything. And so it was very similar to what you described. I was standing in front of the whiteboard in my office one day, and I suddenly realized that all that I'd been building in my life, I realized I was building to try and fill this hole that I felt inside me, this emptiness that I hadn't even realized was there, in a sense, until I realized that I wasn't filling it. So it was kind of like this bomb went off inside me. And so it really triggered this search, a search that I had no clue where it was going or even what it was about. I just knew that something I needed to find. And over the next few years, I suppose it took me about 4 or 5 years to really get going, in the sense that I ran that business and sold it in 93 and worked for it for another year. Mm-hmm. And over the next couple of years, I then proceeded to blow up my marriage and the best part of $1 million, and finished up founding myself 2 or 3 years later in this little yoga cult, wondering what on earth I was doing and where I was going.
Well, we have similar timing. I came to it. Well, I was in the military for 13 years, got out, came to Atlanta in 88, spent a couple of years with a very successful practice, and then I heard one day, and, you know, I've always meditated, and I heard, quit your job. So I did. And, you know, they thought I was crazy because I was making so much money. But
yep.
I basically just took 5 months off to do spiritual work in the early, from January to May of 1990.
Okay.
And then that's when I learned, you know, I learned channeling, I learned healing, I learned to listen to my inner guidance, I learned...
Beautiful.
why I was here, you know, because it wasn't to be a plastic surgeon and make a lot of money.
Yep.
So I basically went back to work in and incorporated healing and spiritual information, because spiritual medicine is really the love of my life. I really
Fantastic.
Enjoy helping people discover why they become ill and, of course, then how they can become better.
Beautiful.
And I think medicine is devoid of that information for the most part. But
yep. mean,
there's a mind-body connection and everything. People know about that, but they don't know the specific energy pathways. And that's what we need to bring forth. So, yeah, so about
Fantastic.
The same time, we had these things going on. But you do have an inner guidance, and everybody has an inner guidance. And that's a lot of what your work is about. Why don't you go ahead and tell a little bit more of your story to come on up to the point where you're bringing in information about 2012 and how.
Sure. I mentioned that I finished up in this little yoga cult for a while, and as I look back on it, I realize that certainly part of what was going on was, in a sense, breaking these patterns of behavior, I guess, that have been very much a part of this culture. And in a sense, the path that you walked initially was very much connected with them, and that was very much this left-brained model, which is, you know, trained in the sciences and essentially an existentialist perspective. And so in that maybe 10 years, I suppose it was, I mean, I went from this period where, I think I knew how to run a business, and I spent 10 years where absolutely nothing that I tried to do that came from my left brain worked. The only thing that moved me forward was to trust my intuition. And this it was like inching forward. It really was. And there were these little tiny steps that really presented themselves as the only option by which to move forward. And some of them were pretty painful.
Right.
But I just kept doing that because really there were no other options.
Well, it's almost like the path becomes a razor's edge.
Pretty much.
See what I mean? You can't veer from the path because it is too difficult and too painful, so you're on the path.
Pretty much like that. And so there was a period of time where the only thing that worked for me in any sense by, if you will, giving me some relief from this angst and pain that I was experiencing on many levels, including the physical, was working with a Reiki healer who subsequently became my Reiki teacher because she encouraged me to study it to help myself in a sense, which I did. And I found when I was working with Lee that my intuitive sense was very heightened. And one day I said to her, you know, I felt that all that was going on for me on some level was connected to Archangel Michael. And I knew that she worked with him in her work. And she said, based on the shiver that just went through me, I suspect that's true. And so I'd been sort of wandering around the internet, I suppose, looking at various things as one does. And through that, I had connected with the work of Carolyn Evers. And so I connected with Carolyn's conference calls, which at that time I think were only working with Archangel Michael, and I remember in those calls there was the opportunity to ask questions, and so I asked a fairly personal question, which I knew no one knew the answer to or even perhaps understood, and the answer that came back reflected this understanding of me and things about me that I knew no one else knew, and it just blew me away. And so that kind of started a connection with Carolyn that gradually grew and I guess unfolded gradually to the point where we've been working very closely together for the last 2.5 to 3 years, I suppose, and pretty much working in the same location for the best part of 2 years. And so in a sense, I would say that this material about 2012 really came and found me. I wasn't seeking it out.
Right. Yeah. Well, what's interesting about the information coming in is that there really are energy patterns that are large energy patterns. Some come from the sun, some may come from the galactic center, where, you know, but the Earth is being hit with these energy patterns that, especially during full moon and some of the other times that you mentioned in your timeline, go ahead and give the website for your timeline so that if people are at their computer, they can bring it up.
Sure. The website is called the 2012countdown.com, and there's a page on that website called the 2012 Timeline, and it's a pretty long page these days.
It is.
It has a message and a recording for every full moon, the occasional new moon, and eclipses and so on over the last couple of years. So it's a fair bit on that page. And I just posted yesterday the message in regard to the full moon, which will be with us in a couple of days, and it also actually included the sunspot 1283, which has just passed out of direct Earth direction, but actually sent us one M class and two X class flares as it went by.
Mm-hmm. That's hitting today and tomorrow, right?
It is. It's actually started maybe 24 hours ago.
Right.
So yeah, the energies are certainly begun to buffet us.
And these are X classes. Let's just explain for our listening audience that M is a power of degree less, and we've just begun, at least in this phase, being hit by X's. Is that right?
Yes. the energies from the X class flares, there are really three levels of flares that people speak about. The C class flares, mm-hmm. which are the least strong, the M class, which are kind of in the middle, and the X class, which are the stronger ones. And mm-hmm. so an X class flare is fairly likely to cause some kind, a reasonable disruption of the magnetic field of the planet, certainly will cause, trigger lots of, polar lights and so on and so forth, but also has a pretty significant impact on many people who are sensitive to energies. They will feel these energies for sure.
And if you get a direct hit of an X class, some of your electronics could be affected, even adversely. Cell
no
phone
question.
Service, pager service. We see this in the emergency room, of course, because nobody can be paged, but or called on their cell phone. So in an emergency room situation, you realize that something's going on. Now out in space, the astronauts have to worry about this. They have to go into special rooms because they could actually be killed. Isn't that right? I mean, the radiation can be very strong. That's what I read on some of the sites.
Yes,
so
I'm not aware
rooms.
Of that, Susan, but I could imagine that without without the protection of the atmosphere, the Earth's atmosphere, you would certainly be far more likely to be impacted.
So in the space station and in the shuttles, they have protective areas, probably like Faraday cages that they go into. And, you know, so if you're going to get hit with a high X class directly, you may want to protect your electronics with aluminum foil and that kind of thing, too. The electronics may not go out right away. They may go out a week later, which is interesting. So, we have a large office, 10,000 square feet with, 50 computers in it. So, we take some precautions there. But
I can imagine.
But essentially, as we go into 2012, at least the powers that be feel that these energy waves may get a lot more dangerous because there's been a lot of preparation in underground bases and stuff like that, or underground cities.
Let's assume there's validity in the material that we are given because.
Mm-hmm.
It may or may not be the case. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that everything that we have been given is dead set accurate. And until, frankly, we see the critical piece of the puzzle, which, from what we understand, will awaken, really be the trigger for awakening humanity as to what's going on here, and that is the emergence of rejuvenation of the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Until that emerges, you need to put question marks over it. I mean, yes, I have lots of less certain evidence, you might say. I mean, I've seen the impact on many people of using the karmic clearing command with them, and I I see all of the very serious efforts that have been put in by many beings seeking to prevent, you know, Carolyn moving forth with her mission, as she suffers with incredible pain and many other symptoms as a result of their attempts to essentially take her out.
Sure. Well, that's going on. There's no question.
So if one accepts some of that, then what I would say is those that are walking this path to ascension will be protected. And so it's easy to get caught up in the fear-mongering and give credence to it on one level or another. But my simple advice to people who are committed to walking this path to ascension, however that might look for them, to accept that as you walk that path, on a level you will be protected. And so
that's because your spiritual energy level is rising with the Earth's energy. The Earth is now vibrating at a very high level.
I think that's a factor, but more than that, there is, if you will, there are many factors that impact how our lives unfold. Mm-hmm. And you could be in a situation where there, for example, is a major earthquake that happens, but you will not be amongst those that are impacted by that earthquake, you know.
Right.
In the sense of your life being at threat. I'm not saying there may not be circumstantial things that...
that's what I was saying. It's more like our electronic... We need to protect our electronics, and we need knowledge of where the earth changes are going to be so that we're not real close to them when they happen. But that really comes from following your intuition.
It does.
You know, I mean, the answers are within you. They're not somewhere on the Internet. You know,
amen to that. And I find it fascinating. I mean, so many people send stuff to me saying, oh, you know, what do you think about this? Is this true? And I say, well, what's your intuition?
Best feeling, yeah.
what is your discernment? You know, I don't want to be people's reference point for what is true. I want them to find their own truth. This journey, this time, is about people rediscovering the truth of themselves.
It is. You
know, exactly. I don't want to become, as I said, somebody's
guru.
You know, exactly. You know, I've got the last thing I want to be is people's guru. That's not that's not my desire. You know, I have no egoic requirement for any of that.
Answers are within people, and, you know, spiritual practices have traditionally been the way to increase that. The Reiki that you had increased it, meditation increases it. But, you know, we've been doing a meditation group in Atlanta here since 1995 on a weekly basis.
Fantastic.
And we get many of the messages that you have up on your site. And we got them in a time where we could take action. And so I made money during the 2008 stock market crash.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't lose money, okay? We knew about the swine flu coming. We knew not to take the bird flu vaccine because we were told that some of the vaccine had the bird flu in it. And 2 weeks later, Baxter got caught with that scenario.
Yep.
I mean, the information coming through, I absolutely agree with you. The information coming through, I always put a question mark on. But I have been amazed at the accuracy of this information.
That's beautiful.
And we're talking to the same people you're talking to, believe me. Or they're
good.
Talking to us.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And anyone can open these doors.
Can.
Neither you nor we have any kind of exclusive dialogue here. This is
right, and I would like to have people understand that meditation in a group can be a very, very good thing compared to meditation alone. Because meditation alone, lots of times you end up not doing it, you know, for various reasons.
So if I can just kind of take a moment to, in a sense, summarize the understandings that we have been given, Susan, I think that might help. And we don't need to go into all the detail of it, but in simple terms, what we have been given is that what the December 2012 solstice is about is that there will be powerful energies that will come to that planet, to the planet, because of that alignment with galactic center, and that these energies are in essence transformational, and that all of those who want to prepare for what's unfolding, and the bottom line of this is an ascension, if you will, a shift in the vibration of not only the planet but also of humanity and all upon it to what some people call the fifth dimension, or what is perhaps better described as the angelic dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to prepare. And in essence, humanity has lived in this state, if you will, that we are currently in, where we are at this relatively low vibration. We have some two active DNA strands in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And this has only existed for the last some 12,500 to 13,000 years, i.e. the period of time from the last time we were in alignment with galactic center, because it happens twice in every precessional cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that point where the last phase of the fall in Atlantis occurred. And so we've
That was a big Earth change.
That was a big Earth
change. That
sure.
was a big Earth change, yeah. Right.
And so what is happening is essentially we are coming to the end of that difficult period. I will also add that humanity had some 2,000 active DNA strands before the fall in Atlantis. Not all of them were in the physical. Many of them were in the etheric. But
right.
our understanding is that that is what all of this so-called junk or mitochondrial DNA is all about, this
mm-hmm.
95 or 98% of the totality of the DNA in the human body, who, you know, depending mm-hmm. on who you listen to, is actually about. It's this inactive, the physical aspects of that DNA, which has been shut down. And so the preparation involves three steps. One is to acknowledge your creator.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to clear all of your negative past life karmic energies, because there is a cosmic law which says that these energies can't be taken from one level of consciousness to another.
Mm-hmm.
And the third step is then to rejuvenate the physical body. And in a sense, that will return it to the state that existed in Atlantis, because there was not the aging process in Atlantis that we see today, and
mm-hmm.
many other things. There was also a perfection in the physical body that we don't see today.
Right.
So those three steps need to be
mm-hmm.
taken. And the last two, you know, we, Carolyn and I, have been given commands to trigger. The first one we are already using in some work that we do. The second one is not yet active, and we've been working very hard to see it come forth. So that preparation needs to be done before that time, and then these energies that come in at the time of that December 2012 solstice will trigger the transformation of every particle on the planet, not only the particles that make up the human body of everyone on the planet, but all the animals and plants and rocks and everything on the planet will be changed, in a sense, as a result of those energies coming in. And those that haven't done this preparation will cross over at that time and reincarnate
right.
in another third-dimensional consciousness to
continue
their journeys. Now, the other things that we've been given about all of this is that there are two additional steps in this whole process, and that is, the second step will be the birth on the 28th of December of an aspect of that being known as Marietta, which is, if you like, the name of the monad of the one that sent forth Yeshua. In other words, Yeshua is an aspect of Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is being sent is another aspect of Marietta to be born on that date, coming in after that solstice. So he will carry many soul particles, and he will come in with full memory and full ability because he's coming in after that solstice. And his birth, essentially, will trigger the reactivation of those inactive DNA strands, if you will, pretty much at the time of that birth or very shortly thereafter. And then the third step is then the ascension process of the planet and all upon it at the March equinox of 2013. So they're the bits that we've been given. Is it true, Susan? I can't say for sure.
Those timelines line up with a lot of different prophecies, though.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, as I said, I have circumstantial evidence at this time on many levels, and we we've been given a lot of information on many levels in many forms that essentially correlates with this. Some of the fascinating material we've currently been given is some newsletters from Yeshua, which arose actually out of one of the BBS radio shows where we had Yeshua recently, and there were lots and lots of questions that came from people. So I asked if people had questions. Now, we got inundated with these, and so Yeshua suggested a newsletter. And it does seem that this may have been planned before we came, that this be done, but the material that's coming forth in it is just amazing. And it fits with everything else we've been given to understand. So it's all kind of interesting.
Well, it is. It's a very interesting time to be alive. It really is. I wanted to give you the name of my plastic surgery thing. You know, I was guided spiritually to become a plastic surgeon. I was actually headed toward endocrinology. But in any case, I was given the vision of Plastikos, and then I was told that Plastikos was the Temple Beautiful.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes. And so it may not surprise you, Susan, given the connection that you clearly, the resonance that you have with what we've been brought forth, but I wasn't going to mention this in the middle of the show, but given the resonance of this conversation, I will say to you that I checked before this show and I hear that you are one of those that has come to bring forth these two commands when they're both active.
I agree.
So, interesting stuff, huh?
Well, you know, we are both guided and our paths have been very similar in timelines anyway.
Certainly.
And there's a reason for that. I mean, there's a reason because we're both working for the same people or same hierarchy, as you would want to say.
Yeah.
So, it is very interesting. But, I think there will be a coming together of all of this. And, people who are now waking up have a tremendous amount of curiosity and questions.
Mm.
And websites such as yours and newsletters and the YouTube channelings, that YouTube information coming through are very, very important. They help stabilize everything in a time of panic and, you know, Hollywood movies showing 2012 being fairly violent, to say the least. And for some it may be, you know, I mean...
Yeah.
I believe that, like you say in your material I was just reading on the website, that when you project certain things, the energies coming forth will manifest that. So if you are projecting disaster and flooding and this and that and the other, that will become a part of your reality.
That's true. And I think that also it needs to be recognized that there will be disruptions to life as we know it for several reasons. Firstly, the planet has to prepare itself. It has to clear its own energies. And secondly, humanity needs to be woken up as to what's happening. And my sense is that there will be two pieces to this. It's going to be a mixture of carrot and stick, you might say. The carrot being the emergence of rejuvenation, which is some, you know, as and when it comes forth, it will be, if you will, in the faces of everyone. It'll be, in a sense, undeniable that this is beginning to unfold across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been given is that this essentially is the trigger that will awaken people to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, there's a bit of stick because a lot of people are pretty complacent. They think they've figured out how to make life well enough until death. And so there is this complacency, there is this comfort about how they have got life figured out as they perceive it in this, you know, three-dimensional sense. And that needs to be shaken up. They need to be shaken out of that comfort zone. And so that will happen. I expect that there will be, more significant falls in the stock market than occurred in 2008, as you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, that's certainly predicted with the WebBot project. I just got done taking a look at that.
Okay. I haven't been tracking that, but I'm aware.
Oh, yeah. No, it's coming. It's coming. Probably October.
Yeah.
October is always the month that the stock market takes the biggest hit. It's funny. It's true.
It very often is. Sure.
Yeah.
And
no, I think that is coming, and I also think that people who are holding on to the old patterns are going to have a lot of problems.
For sure. I think if one looks at the state of the U.S. economy, I mean, it's in huge trouble all over the place, mm-hmm. not just federally, but at the state level and so on. But also, I think the euro is about to fail. So,
right.
if all these things start unfold, there's going to be a significant amount of disruption.
Well, government is disrupted. Just trying to get, we have a nurse we hired, trying to get her nursing license, or trying to get, just anything through government is a major problem. And then that blackout that occurred in the Southwest, they don't even, they're still wondering what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big things are happening to disrupt everyday life. I mean, if you want your life disrupted, just try taking the power grid down, I mean, really, they couldn't do anything. I mean, they couldn't conduct business. It was 115 degrees. I was just on the internet and reading about it, and yet, really, not that much attention is paid to the cause behind it.
Yes.
Our aging power grid system, was it something else? Was it some of these energies we were talking about? Taking out some critical electronics. What was it?
Indeed.
And is it going to happen next week? So, yeah, there will be.
Well, we have a nice, fresh, healthy generator sitting out the back.
Listen, I've got multiple generators. I was guided to buy generators years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of, the new life is that you're going to have these kind of problems.
Yep.
So, being prepared is having followed your previous guidance, I think.
Indeed.
Or not.
That's it. Yeah, so it's going to be, I think we're in for an interesting time between now and the end of 2012. And to be honest, I have expected it to be a little more disrupted before now, but it's taking a little longer for all of this to get momentum. So we'll see how it unfolds.
Right. Well, we had information come in that there may be after the fall equinox, less dark force energy influence.
Okay.
Have you had any information about timelines along that, along those lines?
Well, if I look at the work that Carol and I have been doing in regard to this, and it's something we do an enormous amount of work on many levels. My sense is that by the time of this coming equinox in September, that the interference of the dark will have been pretty much ended. Not just on the planet,
but
everywhere.
I'm so glad to get confirmation on that. That would just be great.
And I would say that something that not many people are aware of is that this date of the December solstice of 2012 not only is an important date upon this planet, but indeed it was a marker in time, if you will, that existed long before even this planet was created, because there are many, many cycles that are coming to an end at this time, and one of those is the cycle of the dark. And that cycle is actually longer than an individual cycle of Brahma, if that means anything to you. Are you familiar with the notion of cycles of Brahma?
Yes, they're very long.
They are very long.
That's what I know about them. The in-breath and the out-breath of Brahma.
Exactly. The in-breath and out-breath of all there is, if you will, the creator of all. And so there are those long cycles which the Hindu traditions acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they certainly exist. And indeed, 2012 aligns with the end of the outbreath of the cycle and the beginning of the in-breath.
Right.
And as I said, it also aligns with the end of the cycle of the dark. And you might imagine they've worked very hard to try and stop that happening.
Oh, absolutely.
And so
been very busy lately, I can tell you.
Yeah.
One last push forward,
absolutely. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
And so I sense that perhaps by this equinox, we'll see the final ending of all of that interference. So
that would be great. We could at least go forward a little unobstructed. That would be wonderful.
So you suffered quite a bit of interference, Susan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, all sorts of stuff. But, you know, we were told. I mean, we were told this would happen. And so you just have to get through it. And I don't know. I'm a perpetual optimist, as I'm sure you are, too.
You have
to
be.
You have to be, exactly. So I think there's great hope. There's great hope for humanity waking up and for people learning what creative beings they are and waking up and not becoming sheeples like the Web Project calls them, which is cute.
Yeah.
And actually taking back the power. Because
absolutely.
If you look at the history, recent history, the last 2,000 years, people have not really known the truth. And I'm a double sad, so I'm always like, yeah, let's get the truth out there. And
that's
so
definitely.
I think
so is Carolyn.
There you go. I think the truth is going to come out. The truth about 9/11, the truth about, you know, the powers that be, and the economic fiascos and the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle is going to come out. And I think that there will be eventually justice, which is what I hope I live to see the justice.
Well, Susan, my vision, you see, it's very hard to make much change about any of this stuff while ever this consciousness is so firmly locked in place. And I see it in so many ways. You know, I no longer put messages on any general Yahoo groups or, for example, in this last week, I did something I haven't done for a long time, and that was I posted a message to a LinkedIn spiritual group about the new ebook that we've just put out called The Truth About 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, well, I'll post something up there and see what happens. Well, the conversation that unfolded is the same old conversation I must have seen 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, oh, yeah, but this, you know, and I see it like this, and really it's all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put up with about 4 or 5 people coming forth with their version locked in place by their belief system,
right,
you know, these so-called spiritual people that are so locked in place. And I finally said, listen, guys, this is my last posting to this because we're not going anywhere and we won't go anywhere. And I've come to the very clear understanding, Susan, that whilst we might all wish and desire and hope that it will kind of shift in some organic way, it just is not. The only thing that's going to break this apart is the coming forth of rejuvenation, where it is people's faces in a manner that they cannot deny. When people start stepping forth in these rejuvenated, perfected physical bodies, displaying this grace and peace and joy that other people feel, it'll be like a new race of people upon the planet.
Right.
And you see, as I understand it, this is encoded into the subconscious of everyone on the planet, just as in my work, what has happened is been, you know, virtually everyone that's turned up for a soul healing session with me, and this is not something I've said publicly ever before, is that with the exception of about 3 people in the last year or so, everyone that's turned up for a soul healing session, and been about 3 of those a day for much of that time, every one of them has been an incarnated cherubim angel. And that is what you are also, Susan.
Right.
And these people have turned up day after day after day, just prompted to connect, to understand what on earth they're here for.
Well, they're waking up.
Exactly. But the reason I mention that is because the trigger, you know, they've been drawn to our work in this way, but most of humanity will be awakened by, in the first instance, those individuals stepping forth in that form and then gradually other people showing up in that form. It's the trigger that will, you know, shock people out of their lethargy.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I mentioned this, Susan, is that we see this work in general being done in what we call rejuvenation workshops for most people, which will run for about 4 days. And if this gets off the ground, some of the content that will be in those workshops will be about shaking people's perception of reality, including stuff on things like 9/11 and a whole bunch of stuff mm-hmm. where humanity has been locked inside this nonsense. And so if we get this off the ground, let me tell you, I will do everything in my power to shake this nonsense reality that's been created around people so that they begin to actually understand what has been done to them, 9/11 included.
Yeah, I think people need to, pay attention to what's going on around them, not what's going on through the mainstream media, but what is actually happening, like you say, when they look in the mirror.
Most people don't want to hear. You know,
yeah.
I try people to talk to people about 9/11. You know, not only Americans.
It's uncomfortable. Right? So that, right.
Absolutely. They don't want to. They don't want their reality threatened. This is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bottom line issue. People do not want their reality threatened. They figure they've got it sorted out. They've developed some beliefs which they feel work for them,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want you turning up questioning it.
Right, right. Well, I've interviewed probably by now, over 10 at least, people in 2012.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the conclusion I came to. This is a very
uh-huh.
interesting conclusion. You'll laugh. I said, well, I think really the only sources that we should be listening to are not third dimensional. You know, that's what I'm going to say about that. That,
yep.
you know, that although there's some interesting science, which is third dimensional, which actually I think is important for people to understand that this is a actual astronomy event. It's not, you know, it's not somebody's idea. It's actually an alignment. But beyond that, most of the information I've found useful about what 2012 and the Ascension is, and it's a process. It's not going to happen on one day, like you say. But most of this information is not coming from the third dimension that is useful. And that's what your site's all about. Your site is about bringing in information from higher dimensional sources to help guide people. And, you know, frankly, it's not for everybody. Not everybody in their locked-in third-dimensional reality worldview is even going to be able to understand the expanded multidimensional worldview that allows this information to exist at a higher level.
Absolutely.
And communicate to us.
Absolutely.
So,
and, you know, I say to people, you know, you might have come to the conclusion about 2012 about what's happening and so on, but I encourage you not to try to go and shout it from the rooftops, because people are going to think you're a nutcase.
Right.
Anyone, I don't know if you've done this, but if you know I don't discuss this with my immediate family, my children or my siblings or
mm-hmm.
whatever. I just don't discuss it with them, because they're none of them are really, I mean, my youngest child perhaps, but for the most part they're not open to this at all, and that's okay. Until things shift, they aren't, until something shakes up their reality, they're not going to hear. And so I agree with you completely. Unless people are drawn to this and are seeking it out, you know, let them be, because you're certainly not going to persuade them.
Well, I know my listeners, and certainly your listeners on BBS, are drawn to this information.
For sure, for sure.
And it's kind of exciting to be part of BBS, because they've collected so many eclectic people.
That's a good word for the collection they have, I agree.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny. But, you know, what's great is that, you know, Doug is listening to this now, and Don listens when Doug isn't there, and they really enjoy this stuff. I mean, they love hearing us talk about this stuff. So. Like attracts like, and we're lucky to have them. I mean, I did radio for 17 years now, and
wow.
much of it was radio, you know, where you had to pay $250 or even $300 a show.
Uh-huh.
Very expensive and very local, you know, just local radio. So the Internet's changed everything.
Truly.
And we're lucky it did. Easier in our
Absolutely.
Pocketbook. And also getting the word out to people in a way that is much easier for us. I mean, I'm laying on my bed doing this show. You know, I'm not in some radio studio with headphones on.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So
I'm
great.
Sitting here at my desk with a Bluetooth headset on, talking through Skype and recording it in the background. And, you know, it's just amazing what's possible.
Technology is wonderful. So give your information again, including the e-book information, and then Yeah, some of the other ebooks that you have, because I know this is just one of many in the series.
Yes, it is. Our primary website is the 2012countdown.com. And that site has a lot of information on it. As you mentioned earlier, it's got the 2012 timeline page with all of those messages. And it's also got a page, I mean, we have over 100 YouTube messages up now, and I'm not suggesting everybody go and listen to all of those. But what I've done is taken a collection of those which I felt covered the key messages that we've been given, the key understandings, and I've posted those on one page on that 2012 countdown site. So if any of your listeners want to kind of get an overview, if you will, you know, by investing an hour or maybe two of their time, then they can do that by going to that YouTube page and just watching those YouTube videos. And there are links to, I mean, we've been given a lot of information about the life and times of Yeshua and who he is and what he was about. As I mentioned, he is, you know, we've been given to understand that he's an aspect of Marietta, who is the first being that was created after the seraphim and cherubim angels and plays a very important role in the cosmos. And so a lot of our material is linked through that. In terms of the material by way of ebooks and various things, we do have a page there called, I think it's called the Shop 2012 or the 2012 Shop, something like that, which links to all of the product-based material which is available. And there are some ebooks that link on there, which Carolyn has been given over the last 10 or so years, some of which are quite fascinating. For example, she was given an ebook by Pope John Paul while he was lying in state over those 7 days or whatever it was, I don't know exactly, and he came forth and gave her a message on each one of those days. And it's fascinating material. Again, that's available there on that website. An ebook from Archangel Michael, which is called Earth History, Past, Present, and Future, which again gives the context of what's been unfolding and why and where it's all going. So there's a whole range of material, and I mentioned that we've been given a recent ebook called the Truth About 2012, and I have set that up on its own website, and I'll just give you that website so people can go there. I'll just pull it up here. It's just called thetruthabout2012.com, and there are dashes between each of the words. So it's www.the-truth-about-2012.com.
There you go.
And as I mentioned, there's you know, probably a couple of years ago, we were asked by Yeshua to set up his own website, which is called IamYeshuaReturned.com, which has some fascinating material that he has. In that time, most of the material was coming through Carolyn, because I hadn't woken up my ability to channel at that time. Mm-hmm. And so most of the material that's on there has come forth from Carolyn, and there's some supportive messages from Mary Magdalene on one page and so on. And there's also a link on that site to the new newsletter, which I mentioned before, Yeshua Then and Now, which is bringing forth amazing material. I mean, most people don't understand that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene's mission was about preparing for 2012.
Yeah, it certainly was.
And so, you know, somebody asked, Carolyn's just completed issue 4, which won't be in people's hands for a while, but, you know, somebody asked the question, what were the two of you doing in France? Well, he took the opportunity to explain the key aspects of their mission in the Middle East and then the things that they did in France. So this one question takes up the whole newsletter, and it's a pretty long one. It's amazing the material that's starting to come forth through this in great detail. Quite fascinating.
Yeah, the one of my friends, Trish McKinnon, has put out a book on Jesus' life, early life, you know, the
Okay, yep.
33 years, and it's really turning the academic world on its head, and it's historically based. His India experience, Egypt experience, and then experience in Ireland, and plus the history of where Mary's grandmother came from and how his uncle took him to Ireland all the time. And just the early history and all the things they had to do to stay safe and the Essenes and the role that played.
Fantastic. What is that book called, Susan?
Well, I guess just Google Tricia McKinnon. And it's M-C-C-A-N-N-O-N.
McKinnon or McKinnon?
Right, Tricia McKinnon. And it's Jesus, and then it's got a real long name. I don't have the book right. But it's about his the mystery schools and the, I don't know, it's all his life, and then it's a big, long title.
Okay.
But it's on, Hampton Roads is the publisher.
Okay.
Yeah, that I think you'd really like take it, because that's
that
historical information
that
will back up what...
Sorry, finish what you're saying.
That's the historical information, because everything in there is historically referenced, that will back up what you're getting through a channeled means, which is important to do.
Yes, I'll track it down, because those links are really important, and it's one of the things that Carolyn's always done in her work, is that reference back to evidence in this dimension. For example, when relatively early on in her channeling work, she began to get information from one known as Julia, who was Julius Caesar's daughter, and turns out that Carolyn was Julia in a past life. And so when she started to get this information, Julia was showing up in silks of various colors. And so Carolyn went and did the work to figure out whether these kind of cloths were actually in Rome at the time, and whether those colors were available, whether the dyes were available, and so on. So, and she's doing that too with this new newsletter, this material from Yeshua, to link things through.
Right. Well, that might be an important reference then.
The book that I find fascinating about Yeshua and the time, and it is also a channeled work, is called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, which talks about Anna's life, it's brought forth by a woman who calls herself Claire Hartsong. I don't think it's actually her name, but it's a beautiful book. And
is Anna the one from Ireland? I mean, was she the one that went to the Essene community and took Mary with her?
Anna certainly, she didn't come from there, but she certainly spent time not only in Ireland but Britain more broadly.
Right.
She studied with the Druids very early, and also Yeshua spent time with the Druids, you're referring to, and it's very interesting, because his uncle that took him, Joseph of Arimathea, was actually Mary Magdalene's father. Very deeply interwoven. And, of course, that's how they were able to do the work that they did for, not charging people. I mean, we hear all this stuff about spiritual material should be free and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't question how on earth did Yeshua and Mary Magdalene do what they did and not charge anything for it. Well, the truth of the matter is that Joseph of Arimathea was probably the wealthiest man in the world at the time.
Right, he supplied 10 to the Roman army. That's what's in Trish's book, the historical basis of all of that,
including
about Anna, her whole life story.
Fascinating.
So, definitely
by my calculation, she lived some 840-odd years, had one child, a daughter at 16, and then no children for about 400 years, and then 14 children to two husbands. She's a pretty interesting character.
Yeah, really? Yeah, that's very true. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour, unfortunately. It's been a really delightful conversation.
Likewise, Susan. I've thoroughly enjoyed connecting with you and realizing the connection that indeed does exist between what you're doing.
It's probably existed for many, many years. To say the least, but it is good to reconnect, and hopefully we can have you back on.
I look forward to it, Susan.
Well, great. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb. We've been interviewing Dr. Richard Presser and the 2012 countdown. And I would advise any of our listeners who have questions about 2012 to go to his website and take a look at the vast amount of material there. Many questions can be answered. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Joseph Bozluzovac, Surviving Cancer, the Use of Complementary and Alternative Methods in the Treatment of Breast Cancer. And then after that, Marie Jones, The Trinity Secret, The Power of Three and the Code of Creation. We have Noetic Science Meeting in September, on Thursday, September 15th. We're pleased to have John Mullen, who will be discussing The Face and Its Ancient Secrets. That will be at 7:15. John is a medical intuitive who brings a great deal of wisdom and knowledge into this lecture, as well as other lectures that he does. And we hope that you join him at the Noetic Science Meeting. Well, thanks a lot, Richard, for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Susan, and thank you for allowing me to join you.
Great. Bye. Join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.